You'll notice my sermon title this day is entitled, Under His Wings. And it comes to me this day of all days from a very strange scripture. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke and chapter 13, because you're probably going to be thinking, how is he going to turn this into a Mother's Day sermon? Well, you will be surprised, I pleasantly plea to the Lord, because this is His Word, it's not my Word, and it's from God's Word that we can see who He is and how He wishes us to be. Because today, we look at Mother's Day, and normally, you all know me, I don't do the calendar, I don't like to do the calendar, simply because there are so many socio-political things on the calendar that we can be overwhelmed by that reality. And God is not interested in socio-political stuff. God is interested in what? His Word. And how we, as the body of Christ, live that Word. So therefore, let us turn our attention to this Word and see what it has to say to us and how it can be applied towards the reality of Mother's Day. From verse 34, we read these words, "Thus saith the Lord, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. Behold, your house is left to you desolate, and I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and amen. Blessed be the word of the Lord unto our immortal souls. Amen." This scripture that I'm talking about here, how does it turn to us to look at a mother's love? Well, there's one verse in here, there's one particular portion of this verse that I really want us to focus on, and this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, speaking this reality into our lives. And I want us to understand that this comes from the full image of God. Jesus is the fullness of the image of God. Amen? So he says to us, how often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. When I think of Mother's Day and what it means and how important it is, you all know I just lost my mom just 2 weeks ago. And today, in spirit, she's here with me. How do I know that? Because I put a remembrance of her on my person. My tie tack today is my mother's angel pin. She wore it for years and years and years. Whenever she would go to an important function, whenever she would go to church, whenever she was out and about in her fine regalia, Mom had her angel pin. And I thought, what better way for me to honor my mother on Mother's Day, the first Mother's Day that I'm celebrating without her, than to ask her to be in my heart by wearing my mother's pin near my heart. Because that is the heart of a mom, isn't it? A mom's heart always keeps her children close. I think it's funny. Miss Faye, how old's your oldest child? 55. Is she still your child? Boom. Always be your baby, right? Always. Never ending. Those are the words my mother spoke to me. And those are the words that many of your mothers have spoken to you. They are the words of truth. They are the words of God. Because no matter what, we will always be His baby. He created us. And He gave us mothers steeped in that image. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis in the first chapter, because I want us to be clear on this issue. I don't want there to be anything here to come between what I'm trying to teach and who God is and what Christ is saying in these very words. In the first chapter of the book, Okay? God starts with this stuff. He doesn't wait a long time to bring these realities in. He starts with this. This is in chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27. From the 26th verse, this is what God says. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Both men and women are created in the image of God, and God is not transgender, people. God is our Heavenly Father, and within Him are all the attributes of love that are necessary to produce us. And He poured them out, apportioning them for the purposes that He wished people to have them. I think it's funny because I grew up and I had my mom, okay, and then I became a dad and I had a son. And I thought that was neat and I wanted him to come to me for everything he ever wanted. I wanted to be his savior. But guess who he ran to when he scuffed his knee? Guess who he ran to when things just weren't quite so? Guess who he ran to when he wasn't feeling good? He didn't come to Dad. He went right by me to Mom. Why? Because moms are wired for those realities. And we're all wired to know it. How many of you right now who are parents, every time your kid gets into trouble, you moms out there, who do they come to? Who do they call? They want you to what? Fix them until a certain point in time, right? When they're little, they want you to fix them. But then all of a sudden, they get all grown up and all mature, and something strange starts to happen. And the scripture that we just read speaks every one of those truths. Let's look back at the book of Luke and understand from that reality. Please keep a finger there in Genesis because we're going to be coming back to Genesis and we're going to be going to the fifth chapter, so stick a bookmark in there, whatever you need to do. But let's go back here to the book of Luke because I want to reiterate the words that we just read and just how important it is that Jesus is speaking these truths to us from the book, from the chapter 13. He says to us, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. Isn't it amazing? Okay, I'm speaking to all you adults now. Once we hit, 12, 13. Moms and dads are stupid. They don't know anything. They are just out of it. And we know it all, don't we? And we start to turn away from them. Why? Because we're starting to grow up and we're starting to understand things and we can take care of this stuff until it hits the fan. Amen. And isn't it amazing, adults? Because here we are in our 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. I don't think I have any 90s here yet. And we still act that way. We think we have all the answers. We don't run to God when we have trouble. We want it not. But yet God says, I'm here. I'm longing. I'm waiting. Why don't you come to me? Mother's Day. What do moms want? What is the heart of a mom? Do you realize that today, today is the number one traffic volume day for the telephone company. Today, more phone calls will be made than any other day of the year. Isn't that amazing? Guess what day number two is? Nope. Sorry, guys. You just don't rank. Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is number two because everybody's calling home to tell mom they love them, you see? But Mother's Day is number one. Mother's Day is the number one traffic volume day for the telephone company. This is the day of the year that they make the most of their money on long-distance telephone calls. Because that is so intrinsically wired into us that when it gets to be Mother's Day, how many of you right now who have mothers still alive have a gift for mom, or at least a card for mom, or something for mom, because mom's getting something. She's getting a hug, she's getting a phone call, she's getting something. She's going to be recognized today. And how many of you out there think your moms are expecting that? Okay? My wife right now is down with her mom. That's why she's not here. I told her, I can't go. You know, I got to preach, but you go be with your mom. She says, are you sure? I said, yes, because I'll be with my mom. She'll be in my heart. And she just looked at me. She started to tear up. I said, don't tear up. Don't tear up. I know where she is, and I am happy. I am glad because her turmoil's over. And now she's waiting for me in the only home that I ever really want to have. So the two greatest loves of my life, the first love, Jesus Christ, and the second great love I ever knew, the love of my mom, and the third great love, my wife, are all doing the things that they need to be doing. And we need to be in tune with that love. We need to be in tune with the heart of God. You know, it's amazing because this anthropomorphism that we're speaking of here that speaks of God in this manner comes to us in several different forms. But what I want us to think about is what happened? Why don't we search after God anymore? I mean, we are His image, aren't we? And we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to emulate Him. What happened? What got in the way? Turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. You see, the thing of it is, folks, the answers are in here. The answers are in here. I love the Word of God because it's pregu. Okay? I swear Prager ripped off the Bible. All right? The Prager ripped off the Bible because they were looking for a gimmick to sell their sauce, and they realized, well, you know, everything is in God's Word that you ever need to know. So they came up with their slogan, it's in there. Okay? It's in there. Because we know that everything we need to know about God, everything we need to know to live a holy life, everything we need to know to find heaven, everything we need to know for eternal preparation is found in the B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, the Bible. So like Pregu, it's in there. Chapter 5, verse 3. What happened? Father God, what happened? And when Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own image, according to his image, and named him Seth. According to his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. What happened? Adam sinned, and sin entered into the equation. Adam was no longer the image of God because he had changed it. Adam sinned. He brought something else in, and he was changed. And this is so important because we need to understand this in the context of God's Word. Anytime there is an impurity that comes into God's Word, anytime there is something that is not of God that comes into God's Word, it is an adulteration of God's Word. It is an adulteration of God's creation, and therefore it is no longer of God, but it is of the evil one who has changed it. That's his whole purpose. He said, I would be like God. And to be truthful to you all now, every one of us who is in this world who sins worships Satan. Because our very lives and the fact that we continue to sin proves the fact. But yet God says to us, and He calls to us, He wishes that we would come unto Him as a hen broods her chicks, that we would come under His wings and find refuge. We read that in Psalm 94:1. But do you know God says that very same reality at several different places in several different ways, but He uses the same anthropomorphism. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 17. I'm going to have you in the Psalms for just a few moments. Psalms 17. Verse 8. He says, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Huh, there it is. Turn to Psalm 36 and 7. Psalm 36 and 7. Verse 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge where? In the shadow of your wing. Psalm 57:1. Psalm 57:1. Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge. Until what? Until destruction passes by. Dear brothers and sisters, as we think about a mother's love, as we think about where moms are in our lives and how we respond and react in that reality, our moms can't protect us from everything, can they? They can't keep harm from coming to us. But when it does, they're there to go to help us get through that time, aren't they, Miss Eva? You can't always wipe away what this little one's going to do, can you? The responsibilities of her junk are her responsibilities, right? Yeah, you want to. Yeah, you said it. I'm trying to pull some stuff out of you, okay? Work with me. But it doesn't always work, does it? But where's your heart? What do you feel in your heart when your children are hurting? You feel pain, don't you? Boy, we sang that, didn't we, Miss Sally? Okay. When you see their longings, what do you want for them? You want them to accomplish. You want to set before them the moon, don't you? You want to give them all hope, don't you? That's the heart of a mother, isn't it? Guess where you get that from? From the image of God. But how is it still in there if that image has been perverted? If sin has changed who we are and what we are, how do we still have that? Well, you need to remember something. The image is still there, but it's tainted. It has an additive that needs to be removed. There's something in there that has to be routed out. And that's what Jesus came for. There's a story, and it is just a story. There's a story about a mother bird that was found in Yellowstone National Park. How many of you have ever heard that story about the bird that was burned? Okay? That story is false. It's not true. It actually came out of another story that was produced in 1946. Because in 1946, a whole series of books were put together. How many of you remember the book called The Little Red Hen? Okay. The Little Red Hen was actually one of the books that was put together. Because what it is it is a a storytelling of biblical principles. Okay? Well, one of those stories was also about another little red hen. You see, the little red hen was an idiom that was used in early years to teach children in the 40s and prior about God in school. Huh. No wonder we don't know it, because we've all come up after 1959 when all that stuff was taken out of school. But in that story, it's a story about a little red hen who finds herself in the barn, and one of the horses kicks over a lantern. The lantern starts the barn on fire, and she has her little chicks there with her, and she can't get out of the barn. She can't fly because her chicks will be left. She can't get out through the flames. Though she can leap over them, her chicks can't. So what the hen does is she goes into a corner in the barn, and she gathers her little ones under her wing. And she sits while the flames burn around her and everything is consumed. And finally, after the fire is done and it's out, and the farmer goes in to assess the damage, and he's walking around and he's kicking things around, and he moves a board that had fallen, and there he sees this little red hen all burned up. Feathers scorched, she's definitely dead. But he sees something moving. So he goes over to her and he moves her. And as he moves her, there underneath, in the safety of her wings, though she gave her life, is her children alive and well. Dear brothers, that's the story of the cross. When Jesus spoke this word, he was talking of the cross that was coming for him. You see, God is our eternal parent. We have one parent, and he is God the Father who sent his Son. And God the Son and God the Father are wholly one. One plus one plus one equals. And you know what I'm talking about. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One plus one plus one equals. It's his math. Not mine. And it works. He is our eternal parent. God is not transgender. God is fully male. But within him resides the fullness of all love, which he has passed out, that women, you ladies out there, are that perfect representation of that reality. It is your job to care for your children. It doesn't matter when she hits 70 years old, she's still going to be your baby, isn't she? You'll be in heaven praying for her at that time. I'm not sure, but, you know, well, I know you'll be in heaven, but, you know, you may still be here when she's 70. Let's pray that, right? But my point is, death comes to his. I don't want to predict when you're going to go, Miss Faye. Let's have her around for a while, amen? Amen? But when we go, do you think your love as a mother stops? I think it's the one thing that carries through. I think it's the one thing that carries through, because love is an eternal quality. Now, I'm going to talk to you guys out there for a minute, because today is Family Day, right? We have... this, I just love this because of all the LGBT, whatever that weird stuff is. Yeah. We don't have Mother's Day. We do celebrate Family Day. And we're using it because Miss Sally and I have stuff planned for Father's Day, so this is all the dads are getting. Okay? But guys, do you love your children? Do you want the best for them that they could ever have? Do you want them to come to you when they're hurting? We do, don't we? But we acquiesce, don't we, to mom? Because we understand that relationship that they need, because that's what makes us whole. Because they need to understand that the two become one. What does that mean? The husband and the wife become one whole representation of God in the lives of our children. When our lives are broken, when they're split, what happens to our children? They see the image of God broken and split, and therefore how can they trust who God is when this is what we see in our lives? Now, for some folks out there who are going through that reality, I'm sorry that you're there. But there's a reason our children are confused. There's a reason that we see confusion within families. When we have parents who are struggling in a love relationship with others, and we're all supposed to be the image of God, which is love above all things, but yet we put our junk in there, and we don't hold it to ourselves. I think it's funny because I never heard my parents argue or talk bad about anybody until I got about 18, because then they weren't afraid to say anything around me. But prior to that, Mom and Dad had their conversations in private. I had no idea that there was any type of problems in our household, because Mom and Dad would start a talk conversation and it would go something like this: Richard, we need to talk. Okay, hon, what about? In the bedroom, now. We had no idea what happened in that bedroom, but boy, I'll tell you what, we were pressing on the door, we were under the door, we were trying to hear what was going on, but we never heard Mom and Dad's arguments. And when they came out, they were of one resolve. And my parents were pagans. Where did they get that? Because they grew up in a Christian family. My grandmother and my grandfather were Christians, and they understood it, and they saw it, and it was lived before them on both sides, my mom and my dad. But you see, my parents grew up not wanting the church, so therefore, I grew up outside the church. I had no idea what this stuff was, and I grew up confused, and it took me a lot of years of my own accord and walking in God's grace to learn a lot of this stuff. Because you and I need to understand something, that when we as a family are broken, when we are at odds with each other and we're not agreeing on something, what is that teaching our children about our God whom we represent? We're teaching them that God is broken. But what we need to remember is we need to speak into that reality and let our children know, no, no, that's my sin. Forgive me for my sin. Because even though I'm saved by grace, I am yet a sinner by physical reality. Our children need to understand we are a broken image. It's only restored to us through Jesus Christ. That's why He longs to have us to come to Him, to understand where He is, who He is, and what He is. For He is the fullness of the image of God. So moms, when you think about where you are, how many of you have a little bit of work to do? How many of you have a lot of work to do? Guys, when you think about where you are, how many of you have a little bit of work to do? How many of you have a lot of work to do? Yeah. Let's raise holy hands to that one, eh, Brother Chuck? Both of them. Get them up there. Because here's the reality. Here is the reality. God is there. God is longing that we would come to Him, because we find shelter in Him. But you see, there's also something else that we find, and I've saved this one for my last point. So if you would, turn in your scriptures to Deuteronomy 32 and 11. Deuteronomy 32 and 11. You see, God not only wants to gather us to Him when we're chicks, but God wants us to understand that as we grow up, we still need Him. We still need Him. You see, we turn away from our parents at a point in time because, like I said, when you get about 12, 13, your parents are just dumb. They don't know anything. You know, they lose all credibility. And it's funny because we actually sung it in the song that when we get mature, they actually become friends again at some point in time because we realized mom and dad were a whole lot smarter than we thought they was. Because we find our children being the same thing we were, and now we realize that our kids are simply our inheritance. This is the way you treated mom and dad, this is what you get. My mom always said to me, "Your children shall be my vengeance." And God took five of them away and gave me one. And God turned his heart to him when he was four, so I didn't receive the vengeance. I've been a blessed man. But I know some of us out there are going through the paces, because I know your kids. And kids, remember my words, for your children shall be your parents' vengeance. Thus saith Pastor Rich. From Deuteronomy 32 and 11. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. God does not want us to fall. God is going to allow us to stretch our wings, to find out who we are. But like an eagle, God stirs up the nest. He takes out all the comfortable pieces, throws them away so that all that's left is a craggy nest that you can't get comfortable in. How many of you young people feel that way in your parents' home? Well, ain't nothing. Those people never do anything right. They don't like me at all. I hate you. You ain't never said none of those words, have you? Oh, no, God, no. Oh, I love my mommy and daddy until they tell me no. Right? Your parents are laughing because they've been there and they've been receiving. So they know that Pastor Rich's words are prophetic. They may be a little pathetic at times, but they are prophetic. But God is like that eagle. He stirs out that nest and he makes it uncomfortable so that the young ones do need to leave. Right? I mean, heavens forbid, I don't want Russell in my house at the age of 26. I growed you up, get out. Do it yourself. Just remember, I'm still here. I love you and I'm there for you. But it's time to stretch your wings. Miss Caitlin, what's it like stretching your wings? It can get scary sometimes, can it? But isn't it nice to know mom and dad are there? It is. Folks, it's the same way. God is right there. And he says, though we may seem like we're falling from a great height, because I want you to remember, if a baby eagle, some of these eagles are born up on cliffs, others are born in tops of huge, tall trees, okay? They hit the ground, they're going to break a wing, they're going to break a leg. It can kill them. But what does a mother eagle do? Not the daddy eagle, the mommy eagle. What does she do? Beg pardon? She not only does she push it out, but she'll swoop down under it so that as it's falling and trying to gain its wings, it's also trying to land on her back, trying to land on her pinions, her wings, because what she'll do is she'll give it just enough foothold that she can carry it higher and higher, and then she'll dump it off again. And then it tries to fly, and the whole time it's trying to fly and it's fallen, she's swooping under it until she gets that bird to the point where it is finally confident enough to soar on wings of eagles under its own power. And that's who God is in our lives. He's going to allow those things to come into our lives, and he's going to dump us off, and we're going to feel like we're falling. Oh, my Lord, you've forsaken me. No, he hasn't. He's right there. Reach out. He's underneath. He's right there. He's going to lift you up. He's going to take you to higher heights, and guess what? He's going to dump you off. But by the time you're ready, you won't have to look for him because you'll know he's there. And no matter what come, all you have to do is call on his name and you know the Lord is is under me, lifting me up, helping me to soar to new heights. Is there any wonder that we fall so much? And it hurts when we fall, don't it? It hurts hard when we fall. But the reason we hit the ground is because we never call on the name of the Lord. The Lord Himself says, "You have not, for you ask not." I think we just read that today somewhere. Today I want you to think about what your mom is here for. Your mom is here to show you a portion of the heart of God. So is your dad. And the two become one flesh. Because in them, by the blood of Christ and the reconciliation that He brings, we get to see the image of God. It's a little messed up. Am I talking true, Miss Eva? It's a little messed up. How about it, Brother Mitch? But it's a glimpse, isn't it? But God will never leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus cries out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks to her brood." And may we change the end of it. And may it read, "And yes, we were wanting to." Will you pray with me this day? Gracious God, our Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we give you thanks this day for our mothers and for our fathers, who truly show us a completer image of who you are. And Lord, we know they're fallen, and we thank you for them. And we realize, Lord, that though they are yet a small example, that you are right, you are whole, because moms and dads are working it out. We can't be afraid to admit that. But then too, Lord, may we take what we know and may we turn it to the right and understand that your love is unfailing, your love is unending, that you are always there for us to help us grow beyond ourselves, that we may learn to trust you and to once again show the fullness of your image as we become as your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the fullness of your image, and who gave himself for us, that we may know this reality. For it is in the name of Christ we come, and it is in the name of Christ we stand. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.